Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would give us attentive minds and hearts to Your Word, that we would be able to concentrate and focus and meditate upon Your marvelous works that are all around us. We pray, O Lord, that as we do so, we would be filled with praise to You and for all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. And also Lord's Day 9. Lord's Day 9 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal. It's found on page 876. 876, Lord's Day 9, and first looking at God's Word from Psalm 104. Psalm 104, hear now the word of our God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover Yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of His upper chamber in the waters, who makes the clouds His chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes His angels spirits, His ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth, so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At Your rebuke they fled. At the voice of Your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which You founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which He planted, where the birds make their nests, the storks have her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats, and the cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are Your works! In wisdom You have made them all. The earth is full of Your possessions. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which You have made to play there. These all wait for You, that You may give them their food in due season. What You give them, they gather in. You open Your hand, they are filled with good. You hide Your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth Your Spirit, they are created, and You renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Looking at Lord's Day 9. Lord's Day 9. Question answer 26 asks, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth? Answer, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, and who still upholds and rules them by His eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ His Son. I trust God so much that I do not doubt He will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and I will turn to my good whatever adversity He sends upon me in this veil of tears. He is able to do this because He is Almighty God. He desires to do this because He is a faithful Father. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we consider a wonderful Lord's Day that reminds us of three very important truths about our Heavenly Father. First, our Heavenly Father is able to care for our every need because He is the sovereign God of all the universe. Second, He is willing to love us and care for our every need because He is our loving and caring God and Father. And third, we can trust that our Heavenly Father will love us and care for us all of the time because He is faithful to His promises. The alarm downstairs keeps beeping. Is someone able to shut that off? Thank you. It's just enough that it's bothering me. And I don't know if it's bothering you too, but it's bothering me. So anyways. But looking at Psalm 104, this is a longer psalm for sure, but it is really a simple psalm. It is a psalm of praise and thanks to God for His power in making and sustaining all things as they are, and for His willingness to do so consistently for humanity in general, but also specifically for His people. You can see that distinction between God's care for humanity in general and God's people specifically when you compare the first 32 verses of the psalm and then the end of the psalm, verses 33 through 35. You will notice a distinction there between God caring for all of creation in general and then God's people in specific. Now, children, you may be wondering why the psalmist lists out all of these things in creation that show forth the power and the care of our God. Why didn't the psalmist just say, God is all-powerful and He cares for everything? Why didn't he just say that? Would be a lot easier to memorize, wouldn't it? So why does the psalmist list all of these things out? Because the Lord, through the psalmist, is teaching us how to pray and sing praises, but also because we need to take the time necessary to meditate on the Lord, on His goodness, on His power, and His love and care. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 34, may my meditation be sweet to Him, to the Lord. And so, children, we need to stop every day and take moments and meditate on the providential care that our Heavenly Father has for us. Take time to stop from doing your homework. That doesn't mean you don't finish it, but take a moment in which you are doing your schoolwork and stop and think about what you are learning and how it is teaching you about the love and care that your Heavenly Father has for you and for all of creation. Stop from playing and think about how God has graciously given you toys to play with, friends to be with, family to enjoy. To think about gravity and how that holds us firmly to the ground instead of floating away. And how we can enjoy the beautiful creation that is all around us. Stop to think about, even as you're doing your chores, stop thinking about all the things you'd rather be doing than your chores, and think about the blessings that your God has given to you. And we need to look around us and see that there are clear witnesses of God's love and care for us all around us. Look up at the clouds of the sky and think about how every single one of them moves about by the sovereign hand of our God and brings rain exactly where He has determined it to be. Feel the wind blow past you, whether it's a fierce storm or a gentle breeze or completely still. Even the movement of the air obeys the voice of our God. Let the thoughts of the sky lift your mind to think of the spiritual realm where the angels dwell and how God made them, the magnificent creatures that they are. Then turn your gaze down and think upon the depths of the sea. Watch those nature documentaries and watch how they show the beauty and the wonder of our God. The wonder of even the depths of the ocean. How even the ocean floors are made and designed by our God to support the huge and wide array of life that lives in the seas. And then think about God at creation and during the worldwide flood in the days of Noah. How God is the one who causes the seas to be and to retreat back to their proper place. As you look at a globe or a map, children, you can see all the continents and islands all around the world. Those are all placed there by our God. Do you know that if all of the surface of the world was flat, we would all be underwater? God chose to heap up the deeps into specific places so we would have land to live on. You see, our God designed this whole world for us to dwell on with Him. Think also upon the springs of water, the creeks and lakes and rivers that God uses to give drink to all the beasts of the earth. How He causes the rain to fall, and water the earth so that the trees and grass and all manner of plants would grow and feed all the animals of the earth and mankind as well. Think upon the reality that God has not only given us the bare necessities, but also life's luxuries. Verse 15, and the wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. God gives us our daily necessities, yes, but also provides us with far more than we need. Think upon all the good things you were able to partake of downstairs just a moment ago. We didn't have to drink water. We got to drink coffee and juice and had delightful pastries. We didn't just eat dry bread. We had meat and cheese and all manner of wonderful things. Think back on the wonders of those flavors that God gave you, a tongue to taste those things. How good and wonderful is our God. How great is His love for you and me, even in the things we hardly think about. Consider the trees, brothers and sisters, how they grow so tall, provide shade to us and many other plants and animals, as well as homes for the birds. God is the one who made them and causes them to grow. Consider how even the rocky cliffs we might suspect are for no good purpose, God designed them for the mountain goats and mountain sheep. Think upon the sun and the moon, how as we orbit the sun, we have the changing of the seasons, and as the moon orbits the earth, it causes the tides to go in and out. How God provided one for light during the day and one for light during the night. Consider how even the natural cycle of day and night have been arranged by our God for the blessing of creation. Think of the lions that hunt at night so that it is when it is best for them to do so. And also think about us as people, that God provides us light to do our work and also darkness for us to rest. Truly, as we read in verse 24, O Lord Yahweh, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Think upon the greatness of our God. It's all around us. Think about how He cares for you. The witnesses are everywhere your eyes glance, and with every noise your ear hears. Consider one more thing with me. Think upon a boat. As the psalmist writes in verses 25 through 26, this great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. On a side note, children, as you read over those two verses, you're probably wondering, what is a Leviathan? We don't actually know for sure. Could be, as some suggested, a Megalodon or something like that, or it could be an Ichthyosaur. I maybe pronounced that wrong. The children will correct me later, I'm sure. Or, most likely from our understanding of the book of Job, it's probably a crocodile. But may not be. May be something else. It may be Ogopogo. Who knows? But that's not the point of those verses. Those verses remind us of the great expanses of the sea. And yet, God has made it possible for people to traverse them on boats. Just think about the physics that make a canoe float. Even think about how crazy it is that my boat floats with as many leaks as it has. Think about the glorious physics that are going on there. But at least my boat goes in the water. But anyways. Just think about the laws of physics that God has made for this world to work and for us to make things that help us travel and see things that we would never otherwise see. Just think about that. Even as you go for a drive in your car, we are able to travel distances today that only 100 years ago, or maybe a little more than that now, people would have never imagined traveling. Not in a day anyway, or not in a few hours. And so as you drive from here to the the ones up the mountain. You drive to Vernon, you drive to Penticton, you drive to all these different places. Look and see how God has beautifully made even this little valley on this planet that we live on. Consider all these things, and what does it tell us? Our God is able to take care of us and all of creation all of the time. Our Heavenly Father truly is Almighty. And as you go through your days, remember this. Christ died and rose again so that you would enjoy walking with God. God made this world originally for Adam and Eve and their posterity to enjoy it with Him. Adam and Eve wrecked that, and we with them. But Christ has restored that which was broken. See the love and care of your Heavenly Father. Christ died and rose again so that you would now and forever see God and see Him at work all around you and experience His love and care for you in every moment. Turning our attention now to verses 27 through 35, meditate, brothers and sisters, on the reality that your Heavenly Father is not only able to create and maintain all of creation, but that He's also willing to do so. And you can see the evidence of this when you look at how He cares for creation, giving food to all the animals. And even when He takes away life, we see His powerful hand at work, and it reminds us that He is the one that is in control. We saw that, not this past summer, but the one before, with the destruction of the forest fires. Not a single flicker of flame was outside the control of our God. And even now, we see His goodness in bringing back life to a charred landscape. It is a reminder to us that our God is the one in control and that He cares. Our Heavenly Father is willing to care for us, and we see this as we consider every new life on this planet, because every new life is because of the love and care of our Heavenly Father. For as it says in verse 30, you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Every time a chick is hatched or a baby is born or new trees grow where a fire once was, all those things are powerful whispers that our God is able but also willing to love us and care for us in every moment of our lives and on into eternity. Of course, those signs in creation point us to the absolute surety that we have that our Heavenly Father is willing to love us and care for us. For as it says in verse 31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. What works showcase the glory of the Lord the clearest? We've been looking at creation a lot, but what's the clearest? What work of the Lord does He most rejoice in? The death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which the Holy Spirit is then sent forth from the Father and the Son to give us new and eternal life. So look out at creation. And let those little reminders there showcase for you and remind you that God has done all things necessary for you to have new and eternal life. The work of our salvation, planned by the Father, accomplished by the Son, and applied by the Holy Spirit, is the work that our triune God most rejoices in. And it is the work that is our surety that our Heavenly Father does indeed love and care for us. So look to the cross of Christ. See the love of your God, your triune God there. And then look out at all creation and see it all around you. And may these truths and realities warm your heart as you experience His love all around you and within you. Every moment is a moment in which the whole creation joins in chorus, singing the praises of our God. Please take a few moments and join in the singing. And be reminded, brothers and sisters, that God has made the way for us to absolutely know that the love of God is placed upon us and surrounds us. The last thing that we have time to consider this afternoon is that we are assured that our Heavenly Father will always love us and care for us, because He is not only able and willing to do so, but also because He is covenantally faithful. Everything listed in this psalm is a reference to the covenantal faithfulness of our God and His promises. As you look around, you see how God takes care of us in His creation and earthly things. We are reminded of His faithfulness to His promises to Noah. As God said and promised in Genesis 9, 21 and 22, "Then the Lord said in His heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." This reality and truth, as we look out and see God has been faithful to that promise, it reminds us of the further promises that God has made to us, His people. For as it says in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." We know that all things God will work for our good. All things. That's sometimes really hard for us to believe. Cancer. Just one word, and yet we all know the severity and hardship that such a disease would bring. And yet, even in the midst of cancer, God brings good. I have seen it. I hope you've seen it too. Even in the midst of great suffering, God shows forth His power in wonderful ways. But even more than that, even more than the evidence of seeing God work through something like cancer to bring about good, what is the firm rock that our feet must be settled upon? How do we know with absolute surety that everything that happens to us in our life is for our good? How do we know that? How is it that in every moment of every day, we actually don't have a good reason to complain, but only every reason to be thankful? The children should know the answer to this question. It's the one that's readily given around the dinner table. Jesus. Jesus. For as Paul goes on to say in Romans 8, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how you know. So let's close as the psalm does. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so often the good gifts that you give to us, we take for granted. And we pray, O Lord, that in this day and all the days that we have on this earth henceforth, we would be able to take moments to stop looking at all the troubles, stop looking at the wind and the waves of trials and tribulations of this life, and instead keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ and see him at work all around us, as well as you, our Heavenly Father, who so cares for us and loves us that as we see the flowers of the field be clothed and as we see the birds of the air be fed, we are reminded that you care for us far more than those things. And you have done so and will continue to do so throughout all our lives. Surely you, O Heavenly Father, are our refuge and strength. You are our very present help in time of trouble. You are always with us. Please comfort us with these truths, O Lord. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to have peace where left to ourselves there would only be anxiety. Peace in knowing that we are cared for and loved by you, the God of all the universe, and truly you will bring all things to their appointed end. And may we trust you. May we trust you that all the appointed ends that you have for everything in our lives is truly for our good and for the good of all of your people, all of the time. We pray this, O Lord, with praise in our hearts, for the glorious truths you have revealed to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.